Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online. We'd like to hear from you. The lines are wide open right now. We invite your call to 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something you'd like to discuss, give us a call right now. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Can you guys believe it's September 1st already?
September 1st already.
Goodness, does time ever fly? Well, the change of calendar, the new month, means we've got a new theme. Last month we talked about faith, and in the month of September we're all about prayer, which is really an extension of faith,
Absolutely. The
faith conversation. So we can't look at this as really a separate, isolated topic. It's just a part of this life that we have in Christ Jesus. But we are so excited about this month and really diving into what the Bible has to say about prayer. And there is so much to say about prayer. There are many people out there who are confused about prayer. You know, a lot of folks will read, for example, in Matthew 6, where it says God already knows what you need even before you ask Him. And so they say, well, why even bother? Why pray? Others will just think of it as some religious ritual, and it just doesn't make sense. So there's a lot of confusion swirling around about prayer. And we want to cut through that confusion and really kind of bring some clarity to this privilege that we have as children of God. And I think it starts with a passage out of Luke, and it's repeated in Matthew 6. Jesus has gone off to pray. He was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." So if you scour through the pages of the gospel accounts, this is the one time where they ask the Lord to teach them something specific, and it was to teach them how to pray. And Jesus said, "And when you pray." So I love how he starts that. It's an assumption that everybody's going to pray, that the disciples are going to pray. When you pray, it's not if, it's when. And that's true, I think, for all human beings, isn't it? This isn't just isolated to believers. I think everybody, everywhere, in every faith prays. So a tragic situation happens, like, you know, the shootings in Orlando or the earthquake in Italy or the floods down in Louisiana. And what's the first response? Let's pray. Mm-hmm. And that crosses all belief lines, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, Muslims are praying, Buddhists are praying, Jewish people are praying, even those that are the nons are praying. Probably atheists aren't praying so much in those times, but everybody else is praying. And so it's an assumption that we're going to pray. But what distinguishes Christian prayer from every other prayer? It's the to whom we pray.
Yes.
That's the big deal. And so when Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, our Heavenly Father. You know, and that was a new thought to the Jews as well.
Yeah.
We have this Old Testament that is filled with pictures of what God is like, but you don't see anybody in the Old Testament really calling out to God as their Father. And here Jesus is kind of changing the paradigm. He's saying, hey, there is a personal relationship that you can now have because of what I'm about to do, where you can call God your Heavenly Father. And that's amplified to us in the fact that God has sent His Spirit into our hearts by which we cry out, Abba, Father. So when we pray to our Heavenly Father. Boy, that changes the very nature of prayer, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure does. And I think about when Paul wrote, you know, the Spirit teaches you to say Abba, Father. Think about who Paul was, and he was one of those uber Mosaic Covenant guys, right? He was rising up through the ranks. He would never be so familiar with God, ever. And yet when Jesus got a hold of him and revealed himself to him, he says, oh, man, my dad.
Yeah. And it makes prayer personal, and
yeah.
It really puts it into the category of privilege that I am in relationship with the God who spoke this world into existence, mm-hmm. and I can call him my dad. And yes, he's going to know what I need before I ask because of who he is. But because of who he is and the fact that he has revealed himself to me as my father, I can go to him boldly.
Yes.
And that should give you great comfort. The fact that he already knows should give you great comfort and should be the very compelling reason for you to pray and to pray often. But this month is all about prayer. We're going to take a thorough look at what the Bible has to say about it. If you have questions regarding prayer, if you have prayer requests, we would love to pray with you about what you're going through in life. We ask you to send those to us. And we're really going to join together as a body of believers and learn all about prayer. We're going to take advantage of prayer. We're going to actually pray this month, and we're going to watch God do some wonderful, wonderful things.
It's our September song.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Basic Gospel, everybody, 844-322-2742. Calls already coming in, but still lots of open lines. We want to hear from you on this edition, 844-322-2742. And just before we go to the phones, I want to invite you to join us on social media. You can find us at facebook.com/basicgospel and on Twitter at basicgospelrdo. It's just a couple of more ways that we encourage you to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that's facebook.com/basicgospel and on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Sherman, Texas, and talk to Wanda. Hi, Wanda. Welcome to Basic Gospel today.
Hi, thank you. My question is, I have always heard, by his stripes we are healed. I would like to know, is that just only a Christian saying, or is it actually in the Bible? And if it is in the Bible, where would I find it?
Well, Wanda, it is in the Bible. It's in Isaiah 53.
Yep.
And then it's repeated in the New Testament. I think Peter talks about that in his letter. And what it really means, you know, we look at it as physical healing, that, you know, we can just pray about any illness that we have and claim this verse. And as a result of claiming it, God is obligated to heal our diseases. Well, that's not always the case. That just doesn't work out. The primary meaning of that is the fact that by his stripes, our souls are healed. We find completeness in Christ. We were broken souls. And when we come to Christ by faith, those souls are mended together. They find their completeness in Jesus Christ. We are healed. And I think a perfect example of that is the story of the 10 lepers. And Jesus had come into a village in Samaria, and these 10 lepers were off on the roadside, and they understood that Jesus was coming by, and they yelled out, "Have mercy upon us." And Jesus looked at them and said, "I want you to go and show yourself to the priest." And as they were going, they were healed of their leprosy. But one person, a Samaritan, turned back and went to Jesus and said, "Thank you." And to that one, Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." The others were healed of their leprosy, but only one was made well. And he was made well in his soul. And that's what this reference is all about. By his stripes, we are healed first and foremost in our souls. And then one day we're going to get resurrected bodies where there is no sickness, no nothing. And we will look forward to that and rejoice in that.
Okay, and is that in 1 Peter or 2 Peter?
It is in 1 Peter.
Okay, and then Isaiah 53, and what was the verse?
5.
Yeah, Isaiah 53, verse 5.
5. Okay, I appreciate it so much, and I never miss your program. Thank you.
That's
well,
great.
Thank you so much. Thanks for calling. We sure appreciate it, Wanda. And let me put you on hold. We'll send you, I don't know if you have a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I would love to send it to you. Let me put you on hold, and we will send it your way, okay?
All right. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Wanda.
844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742.
Let's go to Mesquite, Texas, and talk with Alex, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Alex.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well today. What's on your mind?
I had a question. When I became a believer after I was a Muslim for about 17 years, I became a believer and I was first started in the Church of God in Christ, and they call the ministers elders there, which I can find that in Scripture. But now I'm in the Baptist denomination, and they call the ministers reverend. So I'm trying to get an idea of where did they get that word from and why did they use that title?
Well, it's a good question, Alex, and I don't really know the history of that word. There's nothing in the Word of God that would lend itself to calling somebody else reverend. As a matter of fact, Jesus said we're not to call anyone father, and a lot of different denominations have fathers as reverends or priests or that sort of thing. There's no real reason for it other than that was a title to indicate that they were a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you put on an application, you know, for health insurance or whatever, and they ask for your vocation, you would put a reverend or a minister. So it's simply a title that signifies your vocation, that you're there to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but there's nothing in the Word of God. Am I correct on that, Richard?
Yes. It actually, I just looked it up. It's a Latin word that was kind of turned into English, and that Latin word had to do with someone who must be respected and all of that. So it was an honorific title. It's not a title that God identified for any of us.
And I think there's reasons that we respect those that serve as ministers, because in preaching the truth, if indeed they are preaching the truth, in proclaiming the good news about Jesus Christ, they are looking out over our souls. They are giving us food that's going to feed our souls, that's going to bring contentment and peace and joy within our souls. And that is a very wonderful, wonderful thing. So those who bring the good news, as Paul said, beautiful are their feet. Why? Because they're bringing something that makes a difference to us in our lives on a day-to-day basis. But there's no justification for that title out of the Word of God. And as a matter of fact, you know, they're brothers in Christ. They were saved in exactly the same way you were, Alex.
Okay. Sounds good.
That makes sense. So, very interested in your story. You were saved 17 years ago. Is that right? And
it's about probably in 2003. So about 13 years ago.
Okay. And how did you hear the good news about Jesus? And what compelled you to say yes? I believe that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead.
It's a little funny. Not usually like a lot of people, they go down the church aisle and they say yes to the Lord. Mine was a little bit different. Actually, when I was a Muslim, I was talking to a friend at work, kind of compelled me to get into. I was kind of looking at something, trying to refute his argument as a Muslim, and I was reading Revelation, the book of Revelation. And actually, by the time I finished reading it, I just said Jesus is Lord. So it's kind of hard to kind of like. Go into detail about how it happened, but I can't. It's just glory to the Holy Spirit. That's all I can say.
Well, that's powerful, Alex. I mean,
yeah.
You know, the Word of God is God's testimony concerning His Son, and boy, you know, as you're reading through the Book of Revelations, you get to see Jesus in all of His glory. I mean, seated at the right hand of God the Father, and you know, I think you're exactly right. The only thing you can say after reading that is Jesus is Lord, and the Holy Spirit moved you to that. What a great story. And,
yeah.
Thank you for sharing it, and thanks for calling on today's broadcast. Excellent question.
Good indeed.
No problem. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Alex.
You are so welcome, Alex. God bless.
Well, the Word of God is compelling.
Yes, it is.
It is. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition. We have plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. If you've got a question, something you'd like to discuss, maybe something about prayer, why, we would love to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742. Well, guys, the one that reaches into your heart, this is from Kim from Salem, Oregon.
She says, I've been on kidney dialysis for 2 years now. I'm tired and weary of all this sickness and want to stop treatment and allow the natural consequences, which would be death within a week to several weeks. Would God still receive me? I want to go home plain and simple and be with my Abba Father and with Jesus. That's from Kim in Salem, Oregon.
Well, Kim, thank you for writing to us, and I pray this answer will get to you so that you can hear, I think, what the Word of God would tell you. First and foremost, God's acceptance of us is based on the work of Jesus, isn't it? It's not based on what we've done or what we haven't done. All we had to offer God were sins and evil thoughts and that sort of thing. There was nothing really good about us, and yet God chose to love us, and he demonstrated that love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. And then he was buried, and then on that third day, he was raised back to life. And when that gospel message hits our heart, it engenders a response, and we believe. We say, just as Alex was saying, Jesus is Lord, we say that with our lips, and we believe in the depths of our hearts that God has raised him from the dead. And in that transaction, in that by grace through faith transaction, we go from death to life spiritually. We are declared righteous. We are given a new identity, child of God. God's Spirit comes to live inside of us with the promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's our assurance. The Holy Spirit is our deposit, guaranteeing what's up ahead. So if you're a child of God, then absent from the body, you're going to be present with the Lord.
Yes.
Now, somebody that's sick, and especially somebody that's having kidney problems and is going through dialysis, you are being maintained unnaturally. I mean, machines are helping you kind of live life. And you know, from what I know, which is going to be very little, you know, somebody that has those kidney problems, dialysis can be a lifelong experience.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's a tough decision.
Yeah, and dialysis isn't easy.
Right.
The people I've known who have been through it, it's not, you know, like, you know, getting a Band-Aid.
Yes.
It hurts. It wears you out in hours and hours. It's a load to carry.
Mm-hmm. And so it's your decision, right, to be on dialysis or not be on dialysis. 100 years ago, you wouldn't be asking this question. Dialysis probably wasn't available.
Yeah.
You know, modern medicine and some of the new technologies that have certainly enhanced life, extended life, put us in some dilemmas as far as what to do. And we ask these questions, you know, if I just say no to the dialysis, is that something that God is going to look on in favor, or is he going to be disgusted with it? And that's where we have to keep going back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. His love for us is there and fully demonstrated in the work of Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So a decision whether to stay on dialysis or to forego that in the future does not separate you from the love of God. So I think knowing that gives you some freedom to discuss that with yourself and to discuss it with loved ones and to have honest discussions. And I think in those honest discussions, you come up with a decision that you feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. But remember, God's love is right there for you. And, you know, he's going to help you through that. What you're going through is not his judgment. It's just what you're going through. Cling to his love. Let his love fill your heart with contentment and joy and overflow with thanksgiving.
That would be our prayer for you, Kim. Thank you for your email, and we pray that this answer has found a place in your heart. So again, thanks for listening and for writing to us. 844-322-2742. Some time remaining on the clock. If you call quickly, you can pose your question. In the meantime, I want to remind you once again that you can stay connected with Basic Gospel on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook.com/Basic Gospel or on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Guys, a question from Nate concerning the kingdom of God. He said, "You have said that the kingdom of God is here and now, and that we do not need to say the Our Father, or what we term the Lord's Prayer." He says, "I say that the kingdom of God would not have murder, rape, and abuse in it. What do you say?"
Well, the kingdom of God doesn't have those things.
Correct.
The kingdom of God is the reign of Christ in the hearts of his believers. It's his reign within the body. So that's the kingdom of God. It's in an invisible form now, but at his coming it will become visible.
Yes.
And so his reign will be, you know, forever, and everyone will bow the knee to Jesus. So, you know, certainly within the body today, within believers, we still sin. We still do some things. But all those sins have been dealt with at the cross. We can count on that. God's Spirit is living inside of us. God's Spirit is teaching us to say no to ungodliness. So God is committed to us, so committed that he sent his Spirit to live inside of us. And his Spirit will work in and through us to conform us to the image of his Son. That's the process that we're all in. So when we choose to take a left turn or a right turn when we should be heading straight, that doesn't thwart the work of God. It doesn't deter what God's Spirit is doing in us. He simply recalculates our journey, and kind of like a GPS. So we can count on that to happen. But as far as the kingdom of God is concerned, those who are in it are only those who have been born again of the Spirit, who have God's Spirit living in them. It's the rule of Christ in our lives individually and within the church corporately. And one day that's going to all be visible, and sin is not going to have any part of it whatsoever.
Yeah.
That day is coming, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. The important thing to remember here is God is not about redeeming the world system. God is about redeeming individual people to make them his children. Because when he gets around to fixing this, it's going to be a permanent fix. New heavens, new earth, everything. So what you said, absolutely true. Just don't, if you're taking this answer, don't bleed it over into God's going to fix the United States or the European Union or Africa or anybody else. He fixes people.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Well, thanks for that great question. Tomorrow we have a great teaching edition. We're in Chapter 8 of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. And, you know, it'll be available on our YouTube channel. If you haven't yet subscribed to our Basic Gospel YouTube channel, please go there and subscribe. There is just a wealth of research resources right there to aid you in your spiritual journey with Christ Jesus, really plumbing the depths of what it means to be in Christ and to have Christ living in you. So go, please, subscribe to the Basic Gospel YouTube channel.
Yeah, we have so many ways that you can stay connected with Basic Gospel, the YouTube channel. We have a presence on Facebook. You can find it at facebook.com/Basic Gospel. We have a presence on Twitter, of course, at Basic Gospel RDO. We have the Basic Gospel app. There's just numerous ways you can stay connected on a daily basis with Basic Gospel, and we hope you'll take advantage of them. We want to address your questions on Basic Gospel. We know many of you can't call during the live broadcast, but there's still a way for your voice to be heard. Just go to basicgospel.net, click the radio tab, and choose On Air Question. There you'll have the option of recording your question or filling out a text message form. Either way, we want your question on Basic Gospel. Once again, that's under the radio tab at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody, for Basic Gospel. Now, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for that study edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.